Good morning. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Habakkuk Kosai. Bikam Yitz Hashem on this week's two Parshas. It's Chofa Alev Iyo, 15th of May. Okay. At the beginning of the Parsha in Behar, the prophet commences with the information that Tvaydaber Hashem al Moshe, Behar Sinai Lemo. With Moshe spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai. And the parsha here, the first parsha, is the mitzvah of Shemitah. Rashi asks the Kasha, Ma inyan Shemitah etzal ha-Sinai? Why does the Torah have to, or what is the connection, the words of Rashi, translate the words of Rashi, what Shemitah got to do with ha-Sinai? Which means, Rashi's question is, we already know that Shemitah was instructed to the Yidden on Sinai. The truth is that there's two communication posts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had with Moshe Rabbeinu to give him to transmit the Torah to the Yidden. There was Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. And then later on, after the Mishkan was built, you have Hashem spoke to Moshe by Oil Moed, by Yikra El Moshe, by Dabba Hashem Elov, by Oil Moed, Neymar. Once the Mishkan was set up and functioning, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the messages HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu were at the meeting place of the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the Ohel Moed, them to meet, where they met with Moshe Rabbeinu. Only one thing is for sure, that Mitzvah of Shemitah was definitely on Sinai, because if you look at Mishpatim, Mishpatim is immediately after the Matan Torah, Ve'ela HaMishpatim Ashetosim Livnehem, and in other words, straight after Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe, this is the first set of rules that you have to tell the Yidden, Ve'ela HaMishpatim, we spoke about it at the time, it's mainly Ben Odom Lachaveroi, how important Ben Odom Lachaveroi is straight after Matan Torah. Okay. In Mishpatim, there's a pasuk that says, Mashesh Shonim Tiza Esatsecha, Vasavtas Tuasa, and there's a mitzvah of Shemitah. The Torah there says, on Sinai, a mitzvah of Shemitah. So, of all places, the Torah doesn't need to say, Vadab Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai Lema, with a kapasha of Shemitah, it doesn't need to say, Har Sinai. That's Rashi's question. Rashi has his own answer to tell us. We learn from here that all the Torahs. Okay, but there's another chat. Osnaim Latona says very beautifully. He said like this: this mitzvah of Shemitah is an amazing phenomenon. Yeah, it's extremely difficult to keep the mitzvah of Shemitah. Consider in a world where well in the 90%. Of the national output of everyone was quite simply the agriculture. Everything was agriculture. There wasn't the way there is industry today, manufacturing industry. The main income of everybody was agriculture. The Klal Yisrael are told that for 12 months, switch off. What are we going to eat? It's an impossible situation. Deep meat is an extremely difficult mitzvah. Araya, that the pasuk in Tehillim, in the end of Kuf Gimel, the pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Malachov, the pasuk speaks about godless, Baruch Hashem Malachov, and bless Hashem, Hashem will bless the Malachov, and Malachim will bless Hashem, who are Malachov, Giboire Koyach, those who have great strength, Oisei Devorai, who fulfill his word, Mishmaya B'kol Devorai, to listen to his voice. So, when the Yidden said at Har Sinai, Na'aseh V'nishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, wow, this is Giboirei Koyach. Who taught the Yidden the secret of Malachim? Malachim say Na'aseh V'nishma. Are the Yidden people to say Na'aseh V'nishma? That's me, Gilo Roz Zeh Lebonai. And says the Dosh of the Gemara. Who revealed this secret to my children, to the Yidden of the secret Malachim have? Na'aseh V'nishma. So we see that a Malach, Baruch Hashem Malachim, this passage is referring to Malachim who are Na'aseh V'nishma. Klal Yisrael said also Na'aseh V'nishma, and they like Malachim. Says the Gemara, who's called Malachov? Who's called Giboirei Koyach? Zeh Shomrei Shemitah. Someone who keeps Shemitah is like a Malach. Giboirei Koyach Malachov. Because the Chazal appreciates, the Torah appreciates, the deep mitzvah of Shemitah is extremely difficult. Lockdown on a 12-month basis, every 7 years, on an annual cycle, every year, lockdown, it's impossible. Yet Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael to keep this mitzvah. That's why the pasuk says, "Bahar Sinai." On Har Sinai, you said, "Naaseh v'nishma." On Har Sinai, you accepted to do everything I tell you, and I told you. And on Har Sinai, I've told you, Shemitah, keep Shemitah. I know it's tough. I know it's difficult, but you're up to it because on Har Sinai, you yourself said, "Naaseh v'nishma," and you are like Malachim, and Malachim are ones that are the, we compare people who keep Shemitah to Malachim. That's why the pasuk says, "Vadavashem el Moshe b'har Sinai lemer," because the mitzvah of Shemitah requires greater koyach and greater bitochen from a person. That's pshat in Har Sinai. Okay. Moving a little further, after the parasha of Shemitah, the first seven psukim, the Torah then goes into the mitzvah of Yovel, another six psukim of Yovel. What's the mitzvah of Yovel? So to introduce the mitzvah of Yovel, the Torah says, count seven Shemitahs, seven years, seven times, and then that will come out to 49. Well, actually, that's the kasha. We know our seven times table, seven sevens are 49, okay. And then after the 49th year, when it's over, you blow shofar in the 50th year, and you make holy the 50th year, and the 50th year is Yovel, and it has special halachas. Okay. So the pasuk tells us that you go through 49 years, you go through seven cycles of Shemitah, and then you come to a year, the 50th year, when it's called Yovel. The pasuk Yud says, "Bekidashtem," you announce as holy. And Bezdin have to say Kedush Hashana. Bezdin have to announce that this is Yovel. "Bekidashtem," you make holy Shanas Hamishim Shana TL Okrosem Deroyer, and this year you call it a year of Deroyer freedom. We'll come to that in a moment, Blineda. But all that's in the land, Bechol Yeshvecha for all its inhabitants. Yovel. We know, we're going to discuss this with Kiddashtem. We know that in davening, Shabbos, we say, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Yom Tov, we don't say Mekadesh HaZmanim. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisroel, the HaZmanim. Yisroel, the HaZmanim. Mekadesh Yisroel, the HaZmanim. What's the difference? So we're told to follow the Kedusha of Shabbos is entirely out of our hands. Every seventh day that arrives, Hashem brings down Kedusha into the world. Shabbos is Kodesh, and independent entirely of us. Whereas Yom Tov is entirely dependent on us. Yom Tov will only be Yom Tov. When a Yom Tov comes along, there's a Kedusha. How does the Kedusha come? Because we, the Beis Din, decide when is the Chodesh. We have the power to decide when the Chodesh is, and even halacha is, even if Bezdin make a mistake, it's still the Chodesh. Bezdin got it right. So in other words, Bezdin, Lamazon and Bezdin got it wrong. This shouldn't be in the Chodesh, but we made it the Chodesh. When it comes to the 15th of the month, Hashem says, okay, now it's Pesach, and I'll give you the Kedusha. So the Kedusha of a Yom Tov is dependent on us. The Kedush is Israel, and the Hazman. Then we can be Mekadish Hazman. So we have a Chid. Make Kedusha is a very powerful thing. To make Kedusha, to bring Kedusha, you need power. Klal Yisrael, and the Bohu gave Klal Yisrael, gave the Beis Din, the Koyach, to be Mekadesh 7 days in a year. There are 7 days min HaTorah of Yom Tov, 2 days of Pesach, 1 day of Shavuos, 1 day Rosh Hashanah, 1 day Yom Kippur, 2 days Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. So there are 7 days where Yisrael have the power to be Mekadesh, to bring Kedusha onto a day that normally wouldn't have Kedusha. So we see that every year we have the power to sanctify 7 days. Here in Yovel, Beis Din make an announcement, and then Mekadesh 365 days, or 354 days, right? Shnas Alevon. Kiddashtem, you have the power to make holy Shnas HaChamishim Shana. Wow! What an up! What an elevated situation! Normally, every year, Beis Din have the power to bring Kedusha onto 7 days. And here, they can bring Kedusha onto a whole year. How come? If you have spent the whole seven cycles, seven times seven, Klal Yisrael have gone through and kept Shemitah 7 years consecutively. That's an enormous achievement that Klal Yisrael have made, and therefore, because of this sacrifice, because of Klal Yisrael's bitochen, because of fulfilling the mitzvah of Shemitah 7 times, we've brought ourselves to a situation where Hashem says, you can now have the koyach to be mekadosh agan tzion. You've got to, you can make kedusha until the whole year of Yud, because the fact that you have done Shemitah for 7 times. Rashi says, Rashi brings a Torah's Kohanim, and it's interesting, I didn't manage to find out why. There's two shittas in Torah's Kohanim, in the Zemedish and Vayikra, and Rashi brings one day up, Rashi brings one opinion to answer a kasha in the Pasuk. I mentioned that the kasha in the Pasuk says, count seven years of rest, 7 years, 7 times, and that will come to 49 years. So the kasha is, Rashi says, we know, 7 sevens are 49. So Rashi brings a member, Rabbi Yehuda, in Torah's Kohanim, who says the following. Only if you, he says that, count 7 years, 7 times. And if you go through 49, this will result in 49 years, irrespective of whether you catch Mitzvah or not, it's 7 sevens of 49, then you have Yod. So Rashi says, even if you didn't keep Shemitah, You have Yehuda. That's what Rashi brings. But that's the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But if you look further in the Torah's Kohanim, the Chachamim say no. If you haven't kept Shemitah, you can't have Yehuda. Ain't Shemitah, ain't Yehuda, Ela Bizman, also Shemitah. This fits in perfectly with what we just said just now. How do we have the power to be able to be v'kidashtem shenas hachamishim shana if we've kept 7 shmitas? Only through 7 shmitas. So therefore, that's why the Chachamim say you can't have Yovel if you haven't had 7 shmitas, because the only way you can have the power to be Makadish Yovel is if you've kept 7 shmitas. And that's the Das HaChachamim, with the Chachamim Teras Konim, not like Rashi, that says the Kedusha of Yovel is dependent entirely on whether you kept Shemitah 7 times. With Yovel, just quoted, the Pasuk says, Ukrosim Deroyer, you call a year of freedom. Rashi says Deroyer means freedom. Why does the word Deroyer mean freedom? Because Deroyer is from the word Dor, you dwell. You can dwell where you like. What does that mean, you can dwell where you like? Because an Eved Ivri, who's living with his master, or somebody who sold his field and is no longer got his possession, those things come back in Yovel. The field comes back to him in Yovel, and Eved, who was under the jurisdiction of his master, whether it's within the first 6 years or whether it's after he's had his ear pierced, makes no difference. He goes back home. So that's called Deroyer, freedom. Ukrosim Deroyer Ba'oretz, Achol Yeshaveho. Rashi says he can live wherever he likes. He hasn't got to be with his master. So that's why it's called Deroyer. The landowner gets his field back and a person gets his independence back. He goes back home again. So that's why it's called Deroyer. But the kasha is, who feels the effect of the freedom of Yovel? Who appreciates the Deroyer? Only two types of people. Somebody who is an Eved. Only that's a very, very small percentage of Klal Yisrael who are Avodim. 1%. How many Avodim would it be? Eved Ivri? We're not talking about Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is a possession which you have forever. But an Eved Ivri, how many Avodim Ivri with them? And how many people sold their fields? Okay, a larger proportion of people sold. But the Pasuk says it's Deroyer L'chol Yoshevel. Where's L'chol? The Yoshevel. What's L'chol? Yeah, good to go. Says the Moshe Stenbuch, like this. The message of Shemitah, the message of Shemitah, Yovel, even more than Shemitah, is very clearly that you are not your own boss. You the owner, the master of an eved ivri feels, I've got an eved. He goes free in Yovel. A person buys a field. I've got field. It goes back to its owner. The message of Yovel is, as Mezenish Kambalabat, the Rebbeinu Shalom is in charge. That's the whole idea. The whole idea of Shemitah and Yovel is for us to realize our status vis-a-vis the Rebbeinu Shalom. We're only tenants here. We're not landowners. We don't possess anything. We are not machers in our own rights. We are here only by the grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything we have is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the owner of everything, and he distributes how he wishes and how he feels. And in order that message should come home to us, we should realize, send your Eved free. You've got no jurisdiction over the Eved. Give back that field you bought. You have no jurisdiction over the land. So the message of Yovel is a message to have bitachon and understand and recognize and appreciate how we are in this world on the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, don't we all know, if we have money worries or any worries, we are not free. We've got our headaches. How will I pay my mortgage? How will I pay my electricity bill? People worry, and we worry. A Baal Bitachon doesn't worry. Baal Bitachon knows I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. He is boss of the world. He has everything under control. He does everything that's right. It's nothing for me. What should I worry for? It's the Baruch Hu's hands. That message, if we can bring home that message and internalize that message, we will be free from all the worries and the problems of life. That's why the pasuk says across them deroyer. If you get the message of Yovel, across them deroyer, it will create a freedom in your heart and in your mind. Everybody will realize, not just the Eved who's gone free and the one who's got his field back, now they have a sense of freedom. If we internalize the message of Shmita and Yovel, we will be free from all the hazards and the upsets and the problems that we feel get in the way in our lives, which, as the Chovos HaLevavos puts, as the Chovos HaLevavos very, very clearly makes it to us, that it's an absolute necessity to be able to be Oved Hashem, to serve Hashem properly. We need to have the Bitochen, because we need to be able to feel free, that nothing bothers me, everything is, I want to concentrate all my efforts and all my thoughts. I haven't got to worry about this or that, and then you're free to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's an emes tikkun deroyah. That's why the pasuk says deroyah l'chol yishmeh. Everybody has the benefit. Everybody has the freedom. Okay, so let's stay with Yovel a little bit. The parsha began with Shemitah. Told us the rules of Shemitah. 6 years, you work. 7th year, you can't work. Okay. Then the pasuk gave us the list of the rules of Yovel. That's the second parsha. Okay, we've just discussed Yovel. Then the pasuk goes on to a related inyan and speaks about inyan of minor, that when you sell the field that we just discussed, it comes back in Yovel. Therefore, you've got to be very careful to work out the price that, I'm sorry, if somebody... There's a rule of Geula. If somebody wants to buy his field back before Yovel, he's got to, he may do so, and he's got to work out the price according to the years that he's had the field, because it's a tenancy, so many years of the lease. Okay, then the Torah speaks about that there, and the Torah says, Lo Sainu, don't cheat, work it out correct. Okay, then go further. The pasuk then goes on to something else. Velos Laharetz Piriyah. The land will give its fruit, when in Amposek Yudtes. V'achaltem lo soiva, and you will eat to satisfaction. V'shaltem lo vetach oleho, and you will dwell in safety on the land, because in the Zuchus of Shemitah, you'll stay in the land. We say later on in B'chukosai, that if a person, if we don't keep Shemitah, we're going to Golos, as I stay in Pirkei Avos, the Golos bo'al ha'olam al Shemitah sa'aret, because you don't keep Shemitah. So the pasuk here says, you keep Shemitah and Yovel, you'll live safely in the land. And then the pasuk says this: if you will say, what can we eat in the 7th year? Hey, loy nizra, we haven't sown. Loy nesayf, and we can't gather in as to our saying our produce. So, achabakasha, what am I going to eat in Shemitah? The pasuk says in the next pasuk, I'll give you a bracha in the 6th year that the tevuah will last for 3 years. Mishloish Hashanah for 3 years. And you will sell the 8 year, and then you'll have fresh produce. Okay. So the following 2 points are slightly difficult in this part here. One Rashi addresses and one Rashi doesn't address. It comes to Shemitah, and stop work. What we're going to eat? Good question. What we're going to eat? The question is a genuine question, right? The Derech HaTeva, you've got to have what to eat. Hashem says, don't worry. Normally, a produce, normally your field, the yield on your land is for 1 year. I'll make it that it'll last you for Shemitah. So, how many years does it need to last for? 2 years, right? Yet the posuk says, I'll give you the Torah for 3 years. Mishloish Hashan. Difficult, right? So, Rashi addresses that and he says that Rashi does. It's not very clear because there's a few hiccups in the point, but Rashi makes the point like this. When we gather in our produce, when we harvest at Pesach time in year six, we use that produce from Pesach till the end of the year. So that's part of year six. And that produce will last us for the whole of Shemitah. So that's year seven. And then, even at the end of seven, we haven't got produce straight after Rosh Hashanah. Once Shemitah's finished, we now sow the land. We've got to wait till Pesach to get more produce, okay? So we need the produce of year six has to last us from Pesach of year six till Pesach of year eight. So that's part of 3 years. It's not 36 months. It's 24 months, but it's in 3 years. 6 months of year six, 12 months of year seven, and 6 months of year eight, that's called 3 years. That's what the pasuk means. You will have a bracha for 3 years. That's how Rashi puts it. Okay. It's an answer, satisfactory answer. But what Rashi hasn't addressed is this question, why is it mentioned here? Why not right at the very beginning? When Hashem said, keep Shemitah, at the beginning of the parasha, keep Shemitah, don't work in the sixth year, the seventh year, then's the time to ask, man ochal, what shall we eat? Why is it not mentioned there? After Shemitah, after Yovel, after the dinim of selling fields, then it says, if you ask the question. That is another point. So, Naim Latoyra wants to say like this. When it comes to a Shemitah, we have a bit of a problem. How am I going to manage? No, the emphasis is, it's not a major problem. Because very often, the produce that we have stretches on a bit. And anyway, isn't it a normal thing to leave a field fallow for a certain amount of time? I mean, that's the normal procedure. You don't work your field to its fullness all the time because it'll be drained from all the minerals, etc. So the normal agricultural method, maybe today not because of so many artificial ways of producing our yield in the fields, but in leaving it to nature, it's a good idea every now and then to break off. So if we leave we always anyway leave part of our fields fallow a part of the time. That's normal. So now we have to do it for a whole year. No, Marela, we'll get by. It might be a bit tight, but we're not to the extent that we'll say, hey, we can't manage. Well, what are you going to do, Hashem? We can't do this. We'll stumble through our other. We'll get through it. And maybe anyway, in the back of your mind, the person might think, it's not such a bad idea anyway. Give the land a rest. So therefore, at the beginning, when we have the mitzvah of Shemitah, we might not worry about what will I eat. But now that we've mentioned Yovel, and Yovel is year 15, and Yovel has the same din of Shemitah Sa'aretz as Shemitah, now for year 49 and year 50, for 2 years on the run, we won't use a field. Oi, how are we cope? Oh, that's already out of the question. So therefore, what are we going to eat? But the question will be, the Yetzer Hara, let's put him in the picture now. The emphasis is we shouldn't have the kasha because we should understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides and what Hu will give us. So at the beginning with the Shemitah, we don't need too much to worry. But when it comes to Shemitah with Yovel, and now we're told, by the way, I'm not 49 year, I'm 50th year, you can't do anything. The Yetzer Hara will come in and say, listen here, then you fallow for 2 years, which would be ass. You can't do fallow. You're going to have a problem. So the Yetzer Hara will then come. Now he's got a loophole. He's got a chance. Give him a finger and he takes a hand. Yeah? Give him a chance. He's got a chance now to come to you and to shake your bitochen. If you'll say, what am I going to eat? Hashem says, I'll give you for 3 years. So, although the Pasuk says, what will I eat in the seventh year? So, but it doesn't look like he's talking about Yovel. No. Once the Yetzer Hara gets a finger in the pie, once the Yetzer Hara gets a loophole, he gets hold of you and he says, you've got a question about Yovel, how will you manage? He will then bring you Avera Guerrera Savera and come on, how am I going to manage in Shemitah? One thing will lead to another, and the person, because of the initial problem that he will feel of that there is a problem of 3 years of Yovel, so then it will bring on to him another Avera, how will I manage in an ordinary Shemitah? That answers both questions. Only after Yovel would this bad thought enter your mind, and that's why the Torah says 3 years, because then in that case it'll be three proper years. The produce of year 48 will have to last you for 48, 49, 50, and a part of 51. Right, so it'll be right into be three and more than 3 years. The whole of 49, the whole of 50, and part of 51 and part of 49, according to where Rashi worked it before. But that thought will only come into your mind when you've got a bigger Nisayon of Shemitah and Yovel with the Yetzer Hara will chaparai. Finally, one short word in Berachot Kosai. Very interesting looking in Berachot Kosai. In the beginning of Berachot Kosai, we've got brachas. Okay. In Pasuk Zayin and in Pasuk Ches, we have the following. If we keep the Torah, the Torah guarantees us, or adaftem esay vechim, you will pursue your enemies. Venafalu lifnechem lechorim, and they will fall before you by the sword. So, Rashi comment, Emes has a problem here. If you're chasing away your enemies, nobody needs to. Of course you're going to kill them. So why does it say, they will fall by the sword? So Rashi says, no, it's a pshat. They won't fall by your sword, they'll fall by their own sword. So they'll be confused and they'll kill themselves. So they will fall before you by their own swords. Okay, that's one success in war. Next pasuk. Pasuk says, when we talk about chasing the enemy, pursuing the enemy, five of you will pursue 100. Or may or me came and 100 of you above or you both will pursue 10,000. You'll have an amazing and astonishing success. 100 soldiers will be able to pursue 10,000. Amazing. Not normal. Then the pasuk concludes, Venoflu, Evechem, Ifnechem, Lechorem. Your enemies will fall before you by the sword. Right. So Rashi says, obviously Rashi is bothered about the repetition. Says Rashi, no, here's another bracha of Anofnu Lifnechem Lechorev. As she says, Sheyiyum Noiflim Lifnechem, they will fall before you, Shalik at Erech Oretz, not in a normal way. So Rashi sort of answered the repetition. But it's still difficult. It's still very difficult. Because if 5 chase 100, and if 100 chased away 10,000, that is unnatural. That's not normal. So that's already included in Shaloi Kederech Ha'aretz. What's Rashi telling us? They will fall Shaloi Kederech Ha'aretz. The very fact that 1,000, that 5 of you can chase away 100, and 100 can chase away 10,000, that is Shaloi Kederech Ha'aretz. So why does the Pasuk say, Venof Loi Vechen Efnechen Lechoret? Your enemies will fall before you by the sword. Okay. So Zeh Hashem Epshah. Ninim Yikorim says like this. The Yalkut, and it's also brought in Medrash Rabbah, quotes the following. When David HaMelech went to kill Goliath, David HaMelech threw a stone and it caught him on the forehead. Okay, there's questions, how did it get through the forehead? Okay. And Goliath fell down on the ground and David went forward, took his sword and chopped his head off. Okay. Bialkut says there that the Pasuk, that Goliath fell forward. Now, if you're standing, if Goliath is standing upright and a missile hits him in his face, how'd you fall? Backwards. The force of the missile sends you backwards. The push pushes you back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nest, that Goliath fell forward. Why? Goliath was 6 amas high, bigger than normal people are 4 amas, he was 6, and he fell forward. So therefore, when David had to move and go towards him, Hashem saved David the trouble of walking 12 amas. If Goliath would have fallen the normal way, then David would have had to go up to Goliath and go behind to his head, which is from where he's standing 12 amas away. Instead of that, Hashem brought him, Goliath fell forward on his face towards David, so David had less distance to travel. Chesed to David. As I stated in the Melk. And that's what Rashi is saying here. Your enemies will fall in front of you, not behind, not away from you. Lifneichem, says Rashi. They will fall before you. Not in the normal way, but people will fall. People normally fall backwards if they're hit by a missile in the face. He will fall. They will fall forward. That's what Rashi says here. That's what Rashi means by the shtikala. Thank you very much, Rabbi Isai. Good Shabbos.
Thank you very much.